Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not an easy story, but it's the most prominent story in the country. And if you're just waking up and you're just tuning in, Aaron Hernandez, former New England Patriots tight end, committed suicide this morning in his jail cell, according to the Department of Corrections in the state of Massachusetts. We generally get in here a couple hours before showtime at 6. We all come in within a few minutes of one another. We all come in from different areas, different methods of transportation. But we all are listening to podcasts or the radio or following social media, and we all kind of came across this news at the same time, but not together, on our own. Lo, the first thing going through your mind when that story hits the wire, when that story comes across your plate, what are you thinking?
First thing, you think about what Aaron Hernandez brought to the football field, because you think about it, because if there was no football, we wouldn't be talking about Aaron Hernandez. Because of what he was able to do on the field and how prolific of a player that he was in his young career, we're talking about this because this is the aftermath. And you thought about, wow, what could have been if this guy would not have been selfish and caught up in situations where, because of selfish decisions and because of self-pride and because of anger and certain things, that you would go out and take someone's life. And it just, I can't imagine it. And so your heart goes out for stupidity, but then your heart really hurts for the kid. You have a young daughter that you brought in this world, and now because of you killed someone that you were going to, you were doomed anyway from the beginning. So I just think that there's a lot of mixed emotions. Your heart goes out for the victims, that this guy that you affected. You affected so many people, organizations, your teammates, and you look at a guy 27 years old, Joe, and just look at the whirlwind, look at the destruction and how many hearts that this young man's broke.
If you want some of the greatest sports writing or reporting that you'll find of the year, go read Dan Wetzel from Yahoo, who has been covering this story from the beginning, who has specifically been covering the most recent element of this story, which was 5 days ago, Hernandez being acquitted of a drive-by double murder, Daniel De Abreu and Safiro Furtado, July 2012, drive-by shooting. 5 days ago, Dips, he's acquitted. And then this today, surprising, is just one way to look at it.
Yeah, shocking, really. And to me, something about it doesn't quite add up just because of the nature of the life events. You know, it seemed like things went his way 5 days ago when he was acquitted from that double murder charge. I'm not saying that it was going to clear the path toward him being released, but there was a sense that he was going to get maybe an appeal heard of his earlier conviction. And so there may not have been much light at the end of the tunnel, but certainly things seem to be going his way. And for this to happen just 5 days later, it leaves more questions than it gives answers.
It's easy to come in here and talk about a Giants game, an A's game, a Sharks game, a Warriors game. That's easy, sports talk radio. These are the topics that, while popular and while polarizing and while in possession of this sort of gravity that'll just draw you to it, they're difficult to convey on air because people have a wider range of emotions. People have a wider range of backgrounds and ways they relate to and process information such as this. Doug Gottlieb, whose radio show is set to premiere on Fox Sports Monday, April 24th, joined us in the last segment. We asked him about Aaron Hernandez and the suicide from this morning. He had this to say.
Good. I mean, look, I understand he got off on the double murder. But there's pretty strong evidence that he either committed the murder or that he was involved in the murder. There was, I mean, as much evidence as you can have on somebody for killing Odin Lloyd. And, I mean, you know, my only sympathy is for he has a daughter. It's a bizarre plot twist, one that we didn't see coming after being found not guilty of a double homicide. But it's not one to which I'm going to sit here and light a candle like some hero has passed away.
Raw, extremely raw, but truthful, honest, at the very least. That's Doug Gottlieb on the suicide of Aaron Hernandez that took place this morning. Is it okay to say that? Is my question, because as it's happening, I appreciate someone's honesty. I always appreciate honesty. I always appreciate something that's authentic, no matter if it rubs me the wrong way, no matter if it's something I agree with. But as I follow the text line 95795, we live in a culture now where saying something like that creates quite a stir. And there are a lot of people who take exception to comments like that. Can you say something like that? Is that all right?
I think it's a freedom of speech. You can say what you want to say. It's okay to enjoy whoever you are as a person. You can say whatever. That's why we live in this great country. Myself, personally, I don't wish anyone death. Now, even if someone, I mean, you, of course you get mad because if you got to look at it, if it was your family, how would you handle certain things? And you would have to say, wow, if she was on the other foot and it was my family, how would I look at it? For me, I believe that no one can judge, and this guy's guilty. And unfortunately, is the world better off? I think that people would say, yeah, but we don't know. I just look at it as I don't wish anyone death. I think the world's a better place. But just personally, me, to say, oh, I wish someone die, or this is the world, you know, this is a horrible person. They're a horrible person. I just don't think that anyone's in the right to be able to judge life. That's just my opinion.
Dibs, do you need to be politically correct on something like this? Can you be honest and authentic like Doug Gottlieb was and not have to worry about repercussions? People saying, no, you can't say things like that. You've got to be a little bit more respectful. Do you in a situation like this, based on the facts that we know?
You don't have to, but I think if you start to take a broader look at not just the individual or the action, but maybe the society that helps to produce this level of criminality, and when you start to get a little bit of distance from just this individual case, you realize what kind of life that he must have led, what kind of, you know, childhood did he have to where he didn't have any role models to teach him the right way. And if you look at the thing that may be systemic as to the reasons why we have these situations in our society where we're one of the most killingest nations on the planet, and you start to look at those things and maybe you get some separation from just this incident. I have a hard time myself with the sentiment of, you know, how did you feel about it? Good. I don't feel good knowing that he killed himself. I don't think that it doesn't make me feel any better about the fact that this guy did some terrible, terrible things. Now, did he deserve to live out his life, whereas the victim, you know, obviously didn't deserve to be murdered? It's not fair, but I don't have a feeling of it being a good thing, Joe. Sure. I don't know where my feelings come down on that. Certainly he's a bad person and he did bad things, but it doesn't make me feel good that he's no longer here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Dibs. I just think that we don't have to bite our tongue. And when you ask, was he wrong for saying what he said, Godly, we had on the show? No, he can say whatever he desires to say, Joe. And that's the way that he feels about Aaron Hernandez. And I think what Aaron Hernandez did is horrible. I think it's horrible to take your life. I think that, you know, you do the crime, this person do those time and do certain things, and to take the easy way out that people would like to say, this committing suicide. I don't find solace in that. But I think that when we're talking about Godly, you heard him. He said, no, I don't feel sorry for him. And I don't think anyone necessarily, I think more people feel sorry for his kids and the people that he affected. He affected more than just himself with this act that he did today and with the act of killing, that he affected more than just himself, his family, an organization, his players, a community. It's a horrible situation that everyone around this environment.
But that's precisely why some people feel good that he's gone. Because of all the people you just mentioned that he affected adversely,
right,
not positively. He's got a daughter. He has an estranged girlfriend. There are a lot of people whose lives were ruined and left. And like they said, it's better to go read Dan Wetzel on just the carnage that this guy left in his wake. Did he ever seem remorseful to you at any point?
No.
Not once. Not once. He was never a football player. He was a criminal who masqueraded as a football player. He happened to throw on the pads every now and again in between crimes. There are guys who play football and make a mistake. There are guys who play football and donate to charity. There are people who work in radio that also happen to maybe sail or run on the weekend, right? Those are your identities. Hernandez was never a football player who went out and made a mistake. He was a criminal who happened to play football at the University of Florida and then for the New England Patriots. Go as far as Urban Meyer. Ask him about Aaron Hernandez. Meyer had no problem recruiting him, playing him, winning with him. And then the second Hernandez was gone and got into trouble, Meyer wanted nothing to do with it. That's what Urban Meyer thinks of the situation. He'll use you up and get as much out of you as he can, no matter who you are. And then the second something looks like it's heading south, well, you know, I'm at Ohio State now. I don't want to comment on what happened in Florida. Real noble. That's real noble to step up to that point. There are a lot of families that would love to know what you think. You were one of the guys that gave him a platform, gave him an opportunity. Why is it you don't have anything to say now? You had no problems when it came to recruiting him, Dibs.
Yeah, it's because the wins are already tallied and the job is already finished and he's on to the next and everyone's on to the next. And the game of football is somewhat conducive to having these sort of athletes be drawn to the sport. And like you say, he was a criminal who happened to play football. It's a violent game that will attract violent people. So to completely remove that element from the sport goes counter to what a lot of these recruiting colleges want to do. You want an aggressive player. You want a guy who's on that edge. And, you know, if you have somebody like Aaron Hernandez who's already had trouble before he got to Florida, it's easy to overlook it. You're not thinking that this guy's going to go on to become an actual murderer. You see an aggressive tight end who's dynamic in the red zone, and you look beyond the things.
Does it surprise you at all that the NFL Network is trying to stay as far away from this story as humanly possible? Go to every major sports website on the planet right now. That's the lead. Go to major news sites around the country. This is the lead. The NFL Network. That's the perfect storm. The number one story in the country happens to deal with your specific niche. And they are as far away from it as imaginable. Good Morning Football, we had it on a little while ago. They were doing a bit on which celebrity you would draft in some, I don't know.
Which NFL Network talent would you draft?
Yeah. Some bit. Completely avoiding the story. Now, again, this is an individual that they marketed in their fantasy football product that they put up there on billboards that was one of their big premier players. Then this happens, and it's, you know what? Let's stick with the fantasy draft you guys are doing right now.
Hands off.
We don't want to be anywhere near the biggest story in the country.
Yeah, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And yeah, you're right, Joe. And I don't know Dibs, where to draw that line. Do you not give these guys the opportunity to play sports and you say, okay, how do you want to do this? And we talk about football, violent sports, it draw violent people. I just think that if you look at it, I don't think football is necessarily the corporate here. I just think that those are the individuals, who they are, and some of their background, where they've been raised. It's not football. It's who these people, a lot of these people are at a young age. It's who what they've seen and been exposed to, the thugs and the gangsters, all the different things that go. And they happen to be able to run with the ball and do the things that people love to see. And it's a way out. So some of these people, it's just like, it's not sports that make them violent. It's not sports to do that. It's like, what's more violent, killing an animal or playing sports? You watch how many people go out there and kill animals for to eat. Are they kill them just for a sport,
right?
And for a game. So what's more of a violent act? And, you know, so it's just hard to categorize and put people in certain boxes. And I get it. Football is a violent sport. I just don't know if football makes these guys violent.
No, that's not what I was saying. I hope that's not okay. The way it came across. Football is not the reason why he became violent. He was a violent person who happened to be able to play football because football is a game where that sort of aggression is rewarded. And so I don't think you can blame football or college football or Urban Meyer. He's just doing his job, which is put the best product on the field or else he gets fired.
Right, and then afterwards be a man and address it. This is someone you were close to. You recruited him. You sat in his living room. You convinced him as a child to come play for you. You oversaw his development and growth. Something went wrong. Okay, understandable. No one's putting the blame on you. But when someone puts a microphone up to you and asks, what do you think about this situation? Why don't you give a thought to completely avoid it, to say, oh, that all happened at the University of Florida. I'm at Ohio State now. Cowardice is what that is. Cowardice. You had no problems milking that young man for everything you could get out of him. But when a slight part of it looked like it might taint your legacy, you got the hell out of there. What am I supposed to do? Respect Urban Meyer for that? He couldn't have a single comment on the situation at all? Stand up for it. You had no problem coaching him, recruiting him, sitting in the living room and selling him, developing him. You can't comment on this situation when someone puts a microphone in your face. When he helped you win a national title, you had no problem commenting on that.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right, Joe, but that's not the way it works, unfortunately. In this day and age, when you throw on the new team's gear and you stand at the podium at your new school, you don't have to go back and answer hard questions about the past. And that's why some of these coaches in all sports who've had recruiting violations dog them. John Calipari, for example, he had to give up wins at UMass. Go to Memphis, no problem. You make the championship game. Oh, turns out Derrick Rose was bought and paid for. You got to give that back as well. You stick and move. Pete Carroll leaves USC before the blank hits the fan. That's the way it is in this business. So as much as it's sad that Urban Meyer wouldn't answer questions about it, it's not unexpected.
With the draft next week, does this raise light on the idea of character, red flags, and what that means for your program? You got an organization down in Santa Clara that's trying to start fresh. They're trying to build up. But as we all know, football teams, championship football teams, they're not made up of 53 choir boys. You're going to have some individuals on there who aren't exactly perfect. Who amongst us is, to be honest with you? Again, it's a violent sport. But what do you do when you're tasked with picking one player over another? And the one on the right, he looks good. He can play. He's a little bit better than the one on the left. He's going to take you to another level. The problem is that he's got baggage. He's got character concerns. And you wonder whether or not you can trust him to play out his contract without getting into trouble. How do you approach the draft knowing things like this at times? Hernandez wasn't a guy who came out of the University of Florida scot-free. You could have looked at that and said, you know what? There's some stuff here in the closet. I might go in a different direction.
You're right, Joe. And I think organizations, even when I played, organizations, or they look at it and they say, hey, look, in NFL, they take you to the rookie symposium. They do all these different skits. And they try to make it as real as they can. But you're always the guy to say, it won't be me. I'm not going to get caught up. I'm going to be okay. And a lot of these same guys are the ones that get caught up. And I think that, yeah, I think when things like this happen, it makes these owners and GMs and people in office say, look, guys, we got to make sure we get high character guys. And I don't think, Joe, that a bunch of guys in the NFL are going out and killing guys. Does it happen? Yes. Does it happen in every single job and workforce, from police officers killing their wives and abusing their wives? Stats show that happens. It happens. Does it happen in office place where there's child abuse? All these different things happen where murderers, all these things happen in any profession. But you're right. When you're given the platform like football and you're so watched in any sports, you do have to dot your I's and cross your T's to make sure that character comes into place. You have to. And at the same sense, you know that there's a risk for a lot of these guys, where they come from, what their background. Why do you think that the NFL has deals that go out and they go get people's backgrounds? They want to talk to these kids. What's going on? Because they want to know, is the risk worth the reward? And most of them not come from killing backgrounds, but a lot of them coming from trouble past. So they want to evaluate the talent they get. And you're right. In Santa Clara, John Lynch, and John Lynch played with these guys. I played with John in Tampa. We played against each other in college, went to All-Star games, played. He knows character. He understands who these guys are, and he's going to make sure what is their background? And that's the main thing, Joe and Dibs, is to find out how trouble are these guys' background. And then also they have people to say, look, this guy done this. We have to make sure we have someone on our staff or someone in the office, player development, that's going to reach out to that individual and make sure that they're talking to him and make sure they keep him on the straight and narrow.
Right, but how much does it matter? Character, where does it rank when you're putting together your board right now? Where does character rank?
I think it ranks on talent, Joe. To be honest, I think it ranks on how talented, when you're talking about character, it ranks on talent. And then if it's an average guy and he's got character, you know it. If he's got character flaws, they're going to scratch him off the board. Now, if it's a kid like Mixon, a guy that could be a first rounder, could be a second, could be a third, they're saying, okay, here's a guy that is a talent. Now, he did a horrible thing, ferocious thing, but it was one thing. Now, it was when he's young. How much are we going to weigh that? Did it hurt him? Yeah, he's going to slip. Or this guy would probably be a top 10, 15 picks. So it's hurting, but a team is going to take a chance, and they're going to say, okay, now if this guy, and the guys are going to sit in that same room and say, hey, we shouldn't take him. We shouldn't take him because it is, because we're going to hear this. And then there's going to be guys saying, hey, well, I wouldn't take him. If this was a free agent, if this was Ray Rice, this guy is 26 or 27, he's been in the league for 5 years, and he's in his – I definitely wouldn't take him. But because it happened when he was young, we're going to view him a little different. So That's how I think this thing works.
Blazers at Warriors. Game number two. The full breakdown coming up next. Kevin Durant, he good to go for tonight? We'll have the latest. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lo and Dibs.
Here's your programming rundown for 95.7 The Game today. Action-packed day. Rangers at A's. Coverage begins right here, 11:45 a.m. with the Dugout Show featuring Chris Townsend. First pitch scheduled for 12:35 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Game will eventually end, as all baseball games eventually do. Damon Bruce will jump on. He will go right up until 6 o'clock, at which point he will be joined by Kerry Keating for Warriors warm-up. That will run until 7. You'll get Tim Roy's pregame show, 7:30, tip time, Blazers-Warriors, right here, 95.7 The Game. The one seed in the West looks to make it 2-0 tonight with a victory over Portland. We will break down the Kevin Durant injury in about 13 minutes at 6:30, giving you all the latest. Stick with us throughout the day. We'll continue to update you on the situation regarding Durant, Livingston, and Matt Barnes. The one seed in the East, however, not looking to go up 2-0. They were looking to avoid an 0-2 hole, and that's not how it played out as the Bulls, led by Jimmy Butler, hammered the Celtics last night. The 7.5-point underdog Celtics win by 14, 111-97, taking the series back to Chicago, up 2-0. And the talk in Boston this morning is that Brad Stevens, the head coach, is on the hot seat. We were kicking this around before the show started. Who is the star of the Boston Celtics?
It's Isaiah Thomas.
5'9" guy.
Is he even the star? Ask yourself, is he even a legitimate bona fide star? Or is it a guy who's having a good season?
Guy's having a good season. He's not an NBA superstar that's saying, hey, when you take up 5 or 10 top NBA players, he's not going to break that top 10 or top 15.
Can you win a title in this league without a superstar, a bona fide superstar? And before you even answer that, can you do it without two superstars? Because Boston's got no superstars to speak of. Nice regular season, somehow worked their way to the one seed, tricked me into thinking they might give Cleveland a run for it. Then you watch them against the Bulls, Jimmy Butler, and over-the-hill Dwayne Wade. The Bulls are hammering them in this series. Yeah. Hammering them. The Celtics have no stars. They got nothing, Coach.
You know what they are to me? A good team that you consider the NFL that always do the right thing. They're going to be solid. They're going to do what it takes to get in the playoffs. Kansas City Chiefs. They're a team that's going to, you know, don't necessarily have the great superstars. Got a couple nice pieces that can come up for a game and make some things. Isaiah can come a couple games and go get you 30 and do some magnificent things. But is it consistency there, especially when it comes to playoffs? What guy can elevate their level of play and rise to the rest? And right now, I was one of those guys that say Boston looks good. They're well coached. But then when the cream rises to the top in tough situations, when the playoffs and they say that next level, I was thinking, okay, Boston has it. And you see it, Joe. They're trying to push that button and nothing's there. The guys are playing, they're hustling, they're doing all those things. But there's no superstar, there's no great guy that can help elevate his team to the next level.
See, we jumped all over LeBron James when he went to Miami and formed a super team. LeBron can't do it on his own, everyone said. He needed to chase the rings with Wade and Bosch. Then when Kevin Durant came to Golden State, that was the narrative all summer. Look at Durant running. Durant needs the Warriors because he can't win without them. What else are you supposed to do if you want a ring? What else are you supposed to do if you want a ring? If a ring matters to you, which the NFL draft is next week, we want guys who want to win, don't we? We want team-first guys that are trying to win. The team matters more than anything else. We need to win a championship. That's the goal of every organization in sports, to win a title. So a guy decides that's the priority. I want to win a title. He goes to Golden State or he goes to Miami, and we crucify him for it. Let's go back through history, shall we? Tell me how many of these teams, NBA champions working backwards, did not have at least two bona fide superstars on their team, starting with last year, Cleveland, obviously. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, along with LeBron. Then it's the Warriors. We all know that. Before that, the Spurs. Kawhi, Duncan at the end. Ginobili, Parker.
Hall of Famers.
Exactly. Before that, Miami and Miami. We know where that's going. Before that, Dallas. Okay, Dirk. 2011 with Dirk. I don't know if you have two bona fide superstars, but you got one Hall of Famer and a 30,000-point scorer.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jason Kidd on that team as well toward the end of his career, so he maybe counts half credit at that
point.
And
probably wouldn't have won that game if LeBron would have been a little more selfish. Be honest.
Good way to put it. But that might be the anomaly because as we continue to work our way back, after that 2011 win for Dallas, it was the Lakers and the Lakers, Kobe and Gasol, Kobe and Gasol. Prior to that, it was the Celtics with the big three. Prior to that, it was the Spurs when Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker were in their prime. Prior to that, it was the Heat with Shaq and D-Wade. Prior to that, it was the Spurs in their prime again. Prior to that, the Pistons. Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, the Wallace boys.
Rip.
So you can make the case that maybe you didn't have two superstars
there,
but you had
team.
Really good talent across the board. So that's two in the last millennium.
Right.
Now is where it gets interesting. San Antonio, then it's Kobe, Shaq, Kobe, Shaq, Kobe, Shaq. San Antonio again, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan.
Oh, here we go.
Olajuwon, Olajuwon, and that was also with Clyde Drexler, if I'm not mistaken.
But the second of the two was, the first one was the ensemble with Kenny Smith, Robert Horry et al.
And then before that, it's Jordan, 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 Bad Boy Pistons, Bad Boy Pistons, Magic Lakers, Magic Lakers, Larry Celtics, Magic's Lakers, Larry Celtics, the 83 Sixers, Moses Malone, Dr. J,
yeah.
Doc River, no, not Doc Rivers, I don't know what I'm, Maurice Cheeks, excuse me. I always
Andrew
get those
Tony.
Two confused for
You're getting
some
back
reason.
Into my childhood now, Joe.
Then you go to the Lakers again, then the Celtics, then the Lakers, then the Supersonics in 1979. The point of the matter is this, in the NBA, it's very clear. Over the last 30 years, two teams have won the title without two superstars. Dallas in 2011 and the Pistons in 2004. That's it. So maybe we should button it up and back it up a little bit if we're going to go after guys like Durant and LeBron for chasing rings. Isn't winning the point?
No question. And even when you're talking about that Detroit team that had Hamilton, Rip, and those guys, what they did, they played defense. They would be considered dibs, if for analogy, talking about football, the Denver Broncos, the year they won the Super Bowl when Manning was way past his prime, couldn't hit a barn. What'd they win it with? With defense. That when you look at the Pistons that year, it was a team that you're saying, Joe, a unity team that played great, great defense and would beat you up. So those are anomalies. That just don't happen a lot.
We want to cut these guys down, Dibs. We want to cut them down for chasing exactly what we want our teams to do. All we want to do is win. All we want to do is win. And when a guy like Durant says, you know what? I want to win. I got a better shot at doing that in Golden State. The reaction is, oh my God, he's chasing a ring. Is that so bad?
No, and I think a lot of it comes from the former players. And that's where we in the media and fans get the cue, because a lot of times it's the former players or the current players
Great
who take
point.
Shots at each other saying, oh, he's just chasing a ring. And it's just pure jealousy, because only one team wins each year. And as you were mentioning, usually a team wins two or three in its window, so it doesn't get spread around that much, and in order to get one, you definitely need help.
Now, back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
He's the host of the Doug Gottlieb Show, which is set to premiere on Fox Sports Radio April 24th. Follow him on Twitter at Gottlieb Show, Doug Gottlieb with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Doug, good morning. We'll jump right into it. The Celtics find themselves in an 0-2 hole headed back to Chicago, and now there are articles coming out of New England talking about Brad Stevens and his seat starting to heat up if he can't get out of this first round. How much trouble could he be in if Jimmy Butler and the Bulls prevail here?
Zero. Not an ounce. Good morning to you guys. And the crazy thing is, like, that's now becoming like the third biggest story in Boston, right? The Patriots are going to the White House, and Brady's not going because he's got family matters. Aaron Hernandez does the world a favor and offs himself, and this becomes the third biggest story. But zero. I mean, look, all this is, it just shows how massively the Celtics overachieved during the regular season, and the postseason is kind of the true truth serum. You know, the Bulls, on the other hand, had a disaster of a regular season, and Rondo has decided to be Rondo. The matchups, in many ways, favor the Bulls. The Celtics have played a little bit tight, and they're down 0-2. So, by the way, the series is not over. It may feel over to some. It ain't over, but Brad Stevens is in absolutely no hot water. Anyone who says otherwise does not know anything about that organization.
Now, you mentioned this as you were breaking down the Celtics, but the big news this morning that surfaced as most of us were working into our days, Aaron Hernandez committed suicide in a correctional institute he was housed in. What was the first thing that came through your mind as you heard that news come across the wire?
Good. I mean, you know, like, look, I understand he got off on the double murder, but there's pretty strong evidence that he either committed the murder or that he was involved in the murder. As much evidence as you can have on somebody for killing Odin Lloyd. And, I mean, you know, my only sympathy is for he has a daughter. His girlfriend at the time, who I think now is estranged, whatever, she didn't sell him out the trial, but she obviously didn't totally help the state. She wouldn't tell us what was in the box that she carried outside they saw on video. So I don't have a ton of sympathy for her. And I guess I feel bad for his daughter. On the other hand, now his daughter doesn't have to visit him in prison the rest of his life. So, look, I'm very sympathetic to kids who are going through depression, military members who are going through depression, PTSD, and the real trauma that leads to suicide. Okay, that's not this. This is a guy who has done kind of everybody a favor, saved the state a lot of money, saved his family a lot of money, and it's a bizarre plot twist, one that we didn't see coming after being found not guilty of a double homicide, but it's not one to which I'm going to sit here and light a candle like some hero has passed away.
Doug Gottlieb joining us on 95.7 The Game. Good, frank commentary on the news regarding Aaron Hernandez. Getting back to the Eastern Conference, Doug, and looking at Boston as a number one seed with 20.
I know we're like trying to talk Celtics. Like, am I wrong?
No. I think
I'm
that
just saying what everybody thinks, and like and look, and by the way, you know, am I a little conflicted on it? I'm actually not conflicted at all. I'm sorry. I'm not. There are times in which you say things in sports radio to which you. You know, you're a little emotionally conflicted and selling a guy out and throwing him under the bus or whatever. This is the kind of things that we talked about on my show, but this is the kind of things I think, I don't know how you feel, but I'm not going to sit here and go like, boy, that's really sad. Like, it's not. He killed Odin Lloyd in cold blood, you know? And Odin Lloyd thought for a while that they were boys, and then he murdered him and left him to rot in like an industrial yard. Like, sorry, dude, I don't feel bad for you. I don't know what led to you killing yourself, but I'm not going to talk. This is not going to be a CTE discussion or anything else. Like, that dude was messed up, and now he's gone, and now we don't have to worry about it.
That's why I said it was very good, frank commentary. I just, for myself, Doug, and this is on behalf of maybe some of us waking up here on the West Coast, it's not necessarily the A1 story you want to talk about all throughout your morning. That's why I was going to, you know, change the subject to the NBA while also recognizing that your commentary was very frank and honest, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Anyway, you're saying Celtics?
Well, I mean, I don't know
we're on the topic, you want to revisit, should we revisit O.J. Simpson? Let's open that can of worms back up.
O.J. Simpson's in jail for stealing his own stuff. That's my favorite part of the story.
I know. That's unbelievable.
You're hot. You got a lot of hot takes this morning. You're on fire, brother. You're on fire.
I went to the Clipper game last night. I was, I tell you, I was blown away by how good Chris Paul was, man.
Amazing.
Cool. I mean, just he just dominated and controlled the game. And that said, the Clippers just have this thing about them to which they can't. And part of it is that's the NBA. The teams are so good. And there's not that much separation between teams. It's just not. But it took them a long time to put away the Jazz. And, you know, there's something missing. They're one player short, whether it's off the bench, you know. And Raymond Felton gave them some really good minutes in the first half, not as much in the second half. Paul Pierce just doesn't have much in the tank left. Like, boy, there's not a lot coming off that bench. But I was blown away by Chris Paul. Just he completely and thoroughly dominated that game whenever he wanted.
He did. And in the last game before that, I thought he played big in spots, and I thought he had a great game, even the game in a losing fashion. But like you alluded to, this Utah team doesn't seem like they're going away. Seem like they're here for this long of this series. In not having even a guy going down, one of the better players, not defensively, is not even there. So how do you see this series shake it out?
Without Rudy Gobert, I'd say they're still at a decided disadvantage. But it is weird because you look and you're like, well, I really like Gordon Hayward. And, Joe Johnson's a really tough matchup for the Celtics. You know, it just is. When they try and put Richard Mbamute on him, he's a little bit too thick for him to cover. And then they really don't have another matchup, if you bring in Pierce to guard him, like Pierce is really slow now, and Pierce doesn't really help you offensively because he can't get by anybody. You can't guard him with J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J.'s really been limited in this series, and so is Jamal Crawford. Crawford kind of, shot the Jazz back into the game a little bit last night. I think the Clippers are going to win the series, but I think it's one of those to which it may be like body blows. The body shots that ultimately hurt the Clippers in the next series because they're worn down by this series. But I still think they're a better team because they're so much better at the point. And because, DeAndre Jordan without Rudy Gobert is a dominant force inside. And I thought Blake played really well last night. He played excellent in the first half, kind of disappeared for most of the second half, and then had a big bucket and a big three late to kind of seal the deal. So I think the Clippers are better, and I think they'll win the series, but I don't think they're as decidedly better as on paper. If you just saw the names, you'd think.
Doug Gottlieb with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris Paul, when he has the option to opt out this summer, do you see him returning to the Clippers? And to follow that, what are the Clippers going to do to build around him? Do you think they could make a move on a guy like Paul George?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that people are dismissing, I grew up in Southern California, and it's always been a Lakers town. And it's weird. Like, you walk into Staples Center, and I think guys, people that are Warriors fans that, by you guys, some of them have this perspective. Like, dude, for 4 years, the Clippers were the laughingstock of sports, right? And there's an interesting correlation between that and Staples Center. Staples Center is in was probably the second worst part of Los Angeles for my childhood. I was Skid Row, and now all of a sudden it's where everything happens, right? And downtown is kind of cool now. Anyway, my point is that we're so trained to believe, oh, it's the Lakers. He wants to be a Laker. He wants to be a Laker. He wants to be a Laker. Why the hell do you want to be a Laker? Like, they're not, it doesn't feel like they're close. Now, could the draft help them? Yeah. Could free agency help them? Sure. Like, all of these things could, in fact, help them. But, yeah, I actually think the Clipper thing makes a lot of – somebody who supposedly wants to be in L.A. is going to be in L.A. and be for, and play for the Clippers. And if Blake Griffin is gone, that opens up and they've always needed a small forward. Like, that opens up the salary cap space, and it gives you he plays some four, he plays some three. Like, it makes a ton of sense. So I don't know what Chris Paul's thinking. I do know that there's always kind of been this divide on that team because he can kind of lead with a heavy hand. But I think the idea that this is probably the last run of this incarnation, but it doesn't mean the Clippers are dead. It's really hard when you've been in a place for a decade and you're raising your son there to just up and move. I kind of feel like Chris Paul stays, let's see how it plays out. Everybody gets emotional based upon how things finish, and I think players are very matter of fact. Kevin Durant, for example, everybody thought, well, the emotion of coming close but not closing the deal against Golden State, that'll keep him there. And then KD sat down and was like, all right, what's the best for my life? What's the best for basketball? Like, let's go to the Golden State Warriors. Chris Paul's in a different place in his life. He's got a family. He's entrenched in the Clippers organization. What happens to Doc is really interesting. So I don't think he's decided, but I don't think it's out of the realm possibility that Paul George considers the Clippers, because just because he wants to play in Southern California doesn't mean he has to play for the Lakers.
He's the host of the Doug Gottlieb Show, which is set to premiere on Fox Sports Radio April 24th. Follow him on Twitter at Gottlieb Show. It's Doug Gottlieb with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Doug, every time we have the pleasure of visiting with you, it's tremendous insight. We appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with the launch of the new program. We'll definitely be tuning in.
All right, boys. Anytime you need me, you have Cody, text me, call me. I'm your guy.
Thanks, right? Doug.
Whoa. You just made Cody's day. You're on a first-name basis with the producer.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He's a man of the people, Joe.
I mean, I did. When he first texted me, I did do a who dis, you know. And he's like, Cody from The Game. I was like, I got nothing. I dragged that out a little bit. No, I'm kidding, man. You know, I've worked with so many good grinder producers. Those are my people.
Beautiful stuff. We appreciate it, Doug. Good luck on Monday.
All right, fellas. See you.
Now, back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
You want to talk Warriors? We're going to talk Warriors. Joe, Lo, Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Game number two tonight, Oracle Arena. Tip time, 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Light them up. Your concerns, what you're looking for tonight, the KD injury, looks like he's going to go. Vegas has a line on it anyway at 13.5. But if he doesn't, are you concerned about whether or not the team can still pull this off? 888-957-9570. Thank you for waiting on hold. Miguel in San Francisco, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
All right. Hey, I got a question for you guys because I was at the Sharks game yesterday, and it was pretty awesome. I'm thinking of going to tonight's game, but I would love to see – I want to know if you guys think the Clippers will pull out that series, because I want to go to L.A. and watch L.A. get stomped in their own house by the Warriors. Like, I think that would be an awesome experience. So I think basically, you just said KD's going to play. I was going to ask you, what are the chances he plays over the Clippers winning? You know what I'm saying? Because I want to go to L.A., but I kind of want to go to tonight's game. What would you guys do if you guys were a fan that had to pay money to get in? You know what I'm saying?
Good old-fashioned two-parter, Miguel. Good old-fashioned two-parter.
I love it, Miguel.
We appreciate
Thank
it. You. We're going to hit both of them right now. Number one, let's start with Durant. Do you think he plays tonight?
Yes, he plays. I think he plays as normal, and there'll be a very watchful eye from, I think, Chelsea is her name, the young lady, the trainer. They'll be very attentive to that left calf because – as a calf injury sufferer, that thing will linger on you, Joe. If you don't give it time off.
You're trying to tell me you and KD, similar ailments.
Well, when you ref 8 games on a Saturday and you pull your calf in game 2 and you're limping around for 6 hours, it's going to linger. KD and I often use in the same sentence.
Let's bring in another well-respected
Thank
athlete,
you.
Lorenzo Neal. You ever deal with a calf injury like this, strained calf?
Maybe not to Dibs, satisfaction.
Clearly not to that grade one.
Right. I mean, he's saying, hey, 8 games of running around, ref and Joe. Man, I couldn't imagine Dibs.
That's torture.
So maybe we should have KD get in touch with you, and you could tell him the remedies.
Are you sure it wasn't arthritis, yeah. Dibs?
It could be. It could be gout, too.
Oh, gout. Jeez. Oh, cherry juice is good for gout.
Okay.
Cherry juice. There we go. But no, I think that KD is a guy who's going to play. No question. This guy's going to play. And he's going to play well because that's who KD is, and that's what KD brings to the table. When he's on the court, when have you not seen this guy give it 100%, and when has he not really played at a high level?
Okay, so we're all under the belief that Durant plays tonight. Now let's move on to part two of Miguel's question. Do the Clippers pull out the series against the Utah Jazz? Series is 1-1, headed back to the elevation of Salt Lake City. Clippers won last night by 8. That was important because it wasn't by 9. That was the point spread. Utah, however, very nicely done.
Thank you.
Utah, however, without Rudy Gobert, one of the best defenders in the league. When the dust settles on this series, who emerges as the victor?
The Clippers. I think it's
beautiful.
I think it's win or bust for this team. They already know. I think that they understand what's going to happen at the end of the season. There's going to be huge changes. Doc Rivers probably going to be gone. A lot of pieces to this puzzle is going to be dismissed and bring in new pieces. I believe this team understands that one guy we know who's retiring, who's going to be probably a Hall of Famer, getting old, who's done, Pierce, that is. I think they win this series.
I think you're right, Lo. And for Miguel, to answer your question, go to L.A. Go to that next round. I'm not saying don't go tonight to Oracle because nothing beats the Roracle crowd, especially in a playoff series. But if you really want to stretch out and go to L.A., I think the Clippers will advance. So you'll get to see the Dubs down south in games 3 and 4 in about 3 weeks' time.
Here's how this is going to play out. the Clippers are going to find a way to win this series, mostly because of the Gobert injury. The Clippers will find a way to advance. The Warriors are going to advance as well. And in as poetic fashion as you can imagine, and as yet another cherry on top of this wonderful Sunday we've enjoyed, that is the Golden State Warriors run over the last 3 years, they've got another present in store for you. Remember when this was a rivalry? The Warriors are going to end them. Not their playoff run, end them in general. I would bet 4-game sweep. All right? They will offer that outcome before the start of the series. They'll give you the Warriors in 4, 5, 6, 7, Clippers in 4, 5, 6, 7. I would bet Warriors in 4 very confidently that they hammer the Clippers because something's not right. Even J.J. Redick came out and said this team's got problems in the locker room. They are open about their dysfunction, and you can see it on the court. They could not pull away from Utah last night without Gobert. Half that Utah team's banged up that's playing anyway. You shouldn't be struggling if you're Chris Paul and the Clippers. But regardless, Clippers will advance. They're going to meet the Warriors. The Warriors are going to sweep them. Doc's going to be run out. Blake's going to leave for somewhere else. Chris Paul probably stays. But next year's iteration of the Clippers, a vastly different team, to the point where the rivalry no longer even exists because it's not the same team or the same core that started the rivalry. The Warriors are going to bring an end to that franchise.
So straight up, just end it. Close the door, close the book, slam it shut. That's it. Put a wrap on it.
Come next year, there will be no reason to say, hey, you know, end of the week, the Clippers are in town. That won't have any feel anymore. The Blazers will have feel. Harden, the Rockets always have feel.
OKC, of course,
Westbrook,
will have feel.
The Spurs, LeBron, those games have feel. The Clipper game will have no more feel. It will be feeling less
and I think
without
that,
feeling.
And that's why I think that Doc Rivers is gone. He's wore his welcome out. He was a good coach, but he's lost that team. And I think that you look at Chris Paul, he's going to be there. And if they can go out, I think that they will have a feel because I really believe that they go get a superstar. Chris Paul is going to demand because if you're going to keep him there, you got to go and get some guys. You got to go bring in some guys that's going to help his cause. And I believe that that owner loves Chris Paul enough, loves the talent that he still has, that they're going to go out and make some moves in free agency and bring in a superstar to keep that team relevant and keep competing.
Speaking of that owner, Steve Ballmer, who was in early with Microsoft and paid $2 billion for that team, you know what his pet project is? Like for me, you know what a pet project is? A little meditation. Try to get my head right.
Attaboy.
You know what his pet project is? Creating a website that tracks every single dollar the U.S. government's spending of our tax money to finally bring accountability to the government. That's his pet project.
That's insane.
He wants to be able to show the entire world, here's where your tax money is going.
Wow. I don't even know if I want to know how much is being spent.
I would love to.
On Trump travel alone, you know. So that's something that we talk about off the air, not to get all political, but just the very amount of money spent on the travel for the Trump family is mind-boggling in and of itself.
That's a billionaire's pet project. Like, my pet project would be buying up islands and then building my own Navy to keep you two off those islands.
Whoa, that got uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't like honesty around here.
I thought we were boys. I mean,
to an extent, 6 to 10.
This is rude, Joe.
6 to 10.
Wait, want free access on my island?
I'd like to show up every now and again. I'm not saying I'm going to squat there or build a yurt there.
Come on, run some material, play a little golf.
That's it. Maybe play 9 and I'll be out of there.
You wouldn't invite
sunfall.
Dibs to one of your parties and let him do stand-up comedy for you guys? I mean,
do I seem like a guy who throws parties? My version of a party is everyone get out.
Yeah,
that's why I meditate.
That's
a party for me,
if
is meditation.
That type of money, you would do it just because it's something that you supposed to do.
I'd be like Gatsby.
Absolutely.
Just walking around like Gatsby, tan, blonde hair.
Does he seem like a guy who likes to laugh, Lo? As a follow-up question.
Do I really? I'd rather hire Dibs to do my eulogy.
Whoa, boom.
What can we say about Joe Fortball? And then just knowing from up above or most likely down below, Dibs is probably up there sweating a little bit, trying to figure out whether or not it's landing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. One last parting shot.
Yeah. A eulogy with all four-letter words. Is it the first ever? You know,
this guy swore more than anyone I've ever met.
But you're a good guy. You believe in the cloth. You're a good man. You're going to see the baby Jesus.
Who are you talking about? You're looking at both of us.
And
we're both looking
me.
At you like we're confused.
My elevator's got one button and it's down.
Oh Jesus, let's pray right now. Dip stop.
Lord,
welcome right now.
Jonathan, San Francisco. Thank you for
Where's
calling the program.
Button?
Go ahead.
Hey guys, you know I got no words, man. This team is like a machine. This team is so good. You know, I'm watching the NBA 2+ decades, right? The Kobe's, the Shaquille O'Neal, the Jordans. Those dudes would get calls, right? And most nights, they would get the benefit of the doubt. The Warriors is the opposite. Most nights, the calls are mostly against them, and the referees are so sensitive against the Warriors. They've been getting all these reaching fouls, and just, you know, sometimes Klay, Draymond Green, and Steph will be in foul trouble early. The point I'm getting is this team is so good, they don't even need calls. They're still crushing the opposition. They're still crushing the point spread. Imagine if they're getting the Jordan calls or the LeBron calls. How many more wins will they be getting? And what kind of point spread will these guys be crushing?
That's a great point. Always with a lot of confidence there.
Yeah, brings hot takes every time.
I look forward to the eventual conversation we can have at the conclusion of this run, which is the best of the three Warrior teams of the last 3 years. If this team wins a title, the first team that won a title, and then the 73-win team that should have won a title had it not been for one or two key things. We don't need to dive into that now. But which one would you take if you were matching all of them up against one another?
You would take this team, yeah. If this team wins the title.
It ain't even close.
But the scorching hot take was that Kevin Durant made the team worse when they won 13 in a row without him.
That was a hot take.
Why are you laughing? That was a legitimate take that was out there. That was dominating national coverage.
Can you believe that, though? First,
I would hate to have Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant makes you worse, why was everyone flying to the Hamptons to try to sign him up? Why would Milwaukee love to have had that conversation, but they weren't invited?
Right. And, Joe, it was a tell of two tales. Come on, think about it. First, they said, oh, Kevin Durant. What'd they go, 2-5? First, they lost the majority of the game. Kevin, when is he coming? They might not even win the first round. All of a sudden, Kevin Durant is the savior. And all of a sudden, the Warriors start winning. Then, Kevin, they don't need Kevin Durant. He's going to mess up chemistry. So isn't it crazy how quick people jump on and off the bus? Because people were saying the same thing when he was hurt.
It's whatever's the hottest.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? It doesn't matter if you're accurate. It's whatever's the hottest. You got something hot? You've been coming with some fire as of late.
I was hot because I never doubted. I said that this team is fine. I said this team will be better off by him when he's hurt because it's going to make other guys step up and play better. So I was on that one. The wrong one, I've been wrong about the Cavs. I might be wrong about the Cavs. They look like they're making me eat a little shut-up juice, but we'll see.
From the 925, Dibs is opening line for Joe's eulogy. Joe is on the Mount Rushmore of dead people. Mount Deadmore. That'd be huge.
Wow.
And shockingly, that's the most civil Mount Rushmore we've done this morning. Yeah. We did a few before we went on air that were wildly inappropriate that we would never be able to talk about on this station or virtually anywhere for that matter.
Don't miss the after show, 10:15 today.
We need to find a location. We can't use either of the two studios. We need a new location for the after show. Maybe we'll do Mount... I don't even think we can do it.
I think we can... I think Betty Portu's desk. We get Betty involved straight up in reception. Boom! There it is. Problem solved.
Boom!
I think Betty's got better things to do than listen to our lukewarm takes.
Right. Isn't Don out of town? We go use his office the next couple days.
Nah, just Thursday, Friday. Yeah, we can use Don's desk.
Take it over.
He's here one more day.
Oh.
Hey, boss, can you leave your office open so we can do our jerk around show afterwards? just, you know, for 15 minutes.
And you should bring... You should
wildly
bring,
popular, however. And, wildly popular. We almost got to 1 billion viewers last time from what I was told. 1 billion.
And I think
believe it
we,
or not.
I think we can...
All of India.
Oh, wow. And we should bring your dog and you know dogs mark the territory?
I'm not going to... There's a policy. They actually had a meeting the other day about not bringing animals into the building anymore.
Really?
Can you believe this? There had to be a meeting about that. Someone brought a pig in. Not us, but I mean someone brought a pig in here. Not Low either, believe it or not.
Low.
Believe it or not, not
pig.
Low
the
either.
First person I'd think of.
Really?
Yeah.
Who else would you think of?
Exactly.
There's literally no other candidate to bring a pig into this building.
Low didn't bring the pig, but he knew the pig, understand.
No, the pig, so you guys got to realize, pigs, that's not my pet, okay? So
don't get it. It's your business, yeah.
Right. Okay. Very touching.
That's all I have. That's all I got, Joe.
The great Doug Christie is going to join us next. Joe Lo and Dibs disappearing for 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Back in a flash. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.